It is Wednesday night. I am the Solemn Monster, and it is your AEW Dynamite stream for Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Tonight is about AEW. They were live in Pittsburgh for Dynamite, and another huge announcement that Tony Khan was talking about on Busted Open. They said it last week that this week on Dynamite, another huge announcement from the president of AEW, Tony Khan. Tony Khan has taken to making many announcements on this television show. The biggest one probably being the announcement that he had bought Ring of Honor a few months ago. That was a pretty big announcement, right? Even if you're not a Ring of Honor fan, I think that qualifies as big news. Of course, the problem is you keep promising big things and people have big expectations. So we talked about this on the podcast on Sunday. What could the announcement be about? Doesn't seem like it's talent-related. You know, is it about Ring of Honor, a new television deal? Is it some kind of streaming deal announcement? You know, they talked about this being an announcement that would send shockwaves throughout the entire wrestling world. So you knew it had to be somewhat big. It had to involve more than just AEW. Oh, of course, my suggestion on the podcast was that Tony Khan had put in a bid like Elon Musk did to buy Twitter so that he can purge it of all the bots and the fake accounts that have been tweeting mean things about AEW. I still think that might happen. Talk picked up in recent days, though, about the possibility of some kind of a joint show between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. And so where there's smoke, there's fire. I heard, you know, Sean Ross Sapp talked about it. Meltzer started to hear certain things about it, but we didn't know. Well, tonight, Tony Schiavone came out in the middle of the show. He walked out and he introduced Tony Khan on stage for the big announcement. Here comes Tony Khan. Actually, Tony Khan said very little on this show, which is for the better. He wasn't out there screaming and shouting and acting all weird. He came out and then Tony Khan introduced us to the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he introduced Takami Obari. And Obari walked out. The two men shook hands. It was like this great international summit here. Tony Khan and Mr. Obari standing there side by side, face to face. They shake hands, and all of a sudden, they are interrupted by Adam Cole, who pops up on the Tron. And Adam Cole says, there's no better person to make this announcement. He knows a thing or two about Japan. He wrestled, of course, for New Japan for some time. He knows that place very well. And so he said, no better person to make the announcement than I. And that announcement is that on Sunday, June 26th, at the United Center in Chicago, AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling are coming together for a super show called Forbidden Door. And it will be a live pay-per-view event. AEW has a pay-per-view coming up already next month. That's Double or Nothing in Las Vegas. 1 month later, we are getting Forbidden Door. In the Windy City, AEW and New Japan come together for the very first time. And Adam Cole went one step further and he said, as a preview of that show, this Friday night on Rampage, it's going to be Adam Cole in an Owen Hart Cup qualifying match going one-on-one against Tomohiro Ishii. Yes. You know, as much as I've enjoyed seeing Suzuki on these shows, and we've seen him now a whole bunch of times, Ishii is great. Any reason to get him on the show is also fantastic. Adam Cole against Ishii sounds like a fine match. So we're going to get that match on Rampage on Friday. Cole wasn't done. He said, I want to introduce all of you to a friend of mine. And we heard the music and out comes Switchblade Jay White, who made a grand total, I think, of two appearances on AEW television months ago. I think he made an appearance on Dynamite. He wrestled once against Trent Beretta on Rampage and we never saw him again. He was sort of on loan. Been spending most of his time at Impact, New Japan Strong. So here comes Jay White, and Switchblade walks out, and he says, the last time there was a co-promoted event here in the U.S., he single-handedly sold out Madison Square Garden. That's right, he did. I was at that show. He said that for the Undisputed Elite and Bullet Club, it is still their era. And then he walked to the back. So, people are going to be big. I haven't looked. I'm almost afraid to look. Social media. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of varied opinion about this announcement and whether or not it rose to the level of a major announcement or not. people are going to be bickering about how it doesn't bring in any new fans. All they're doing is catering to the existing AEW fan base, right? That's what people are going to be talking about. And yes, this is an announcement, no doubt about it, that caters to the hardcore wrestling audience. And guess what? I count myself as a member of that hardcore wrestling audience. And if you are in the live chat right now, if you are one of the many, many people joining us here on this live stream tonight, on a Wednesday night at 10:30 at night, then I got news for you. You too are a hardcore wrestling fan. There are no casual wrestling fans that are hanging around watching live wrestling streams on YouTube at 10:30 at night during the week. You have to be a diehard, hardcore, probably longtime wrestling fan. And I count myself among them, and so I love it. I love it. It is exactly the sort of thing that I've been waiting for. And you guys, I mean, look, if you've been watching these streams and listening to me, you know this is the sort of thing that I've been hoping for ever since they started running shows again in front of live audiences. They couldn't do anything during the height of the pandemic, but I was hoping that once we started to climb out of that and they got back on the road and things kind of got back to normal, it's still really not normal in Japan. They're still, you know, dealing really with the effects of COVID over there, more so New Japan is than AEW and WWE. But that was my hope, is that we would start to see more collaboration between the two sides. We would start to see maybe talent being exchanged and talent going back and forth. Some of the AEW stars have it in their deals, in their contracts, that they're allowed to do New Japan. People like John Moxley. Bryan Danielson can't wait to go over there. He's just waiting. He said he's waiting for people to be allowed to cheer and boo. You are not allowed, if you go to a New Japan show, still, to cheer and boo. They don't want particles to be spread so you can clap. He's waiting. So I've been waiting. I've been waiting for something like this, something like an AEW New Japan joint show. And finally now we are getting it. We finally had the announcement here tonight. And also what I'm hoping for, and you know, the Adam Cole Ishii qualifying match is an example of this. Now my hope also is that we might get some New Japan involvement in the Owen Hart Cup. I'm hopeful that we might get some AEW talent involvement in the G1 Climax later this year. All of this stuff caters to the hardcore wrestling fan base. This is not designed as something, how can we bring in brand new wrestling fans? And this is, I think, the point that sometimes people forget about. You can sometimes focus a little too much. Let's say you're a promoter like Tony Khan. You're trying to grow your audience, right? You want to bring in new fans. Everybody wants to bring in new fans and followers and viewers. So do I. Everybody does, right? That's the ultimate goal. But if you are a promoter, there are times where it's okay to cater to your loyal, hardcore, diehard fan base. Because if you lose those people, you're in a lot of trouble. And the one thing Tony Khan has done a very good job of so far is because he himself is a fan. That's why he bought Ring of Honor. He didn't buy Ring of Honor because it was making money hand over fist for Sinclair. He bought it because he had certain sentimental feelings about Ring of Honor because when he was younger, he used to watch Ring of Honor. He's going to run Ring of Honor as a separate entity. He's hoping to restore Ring of Honor to the glory that it once had in his mind because he's a fan. When you are a fan, you're going to want to do things for other like-minded fans. You can do both. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. AEW can find ways to try to cater to a wider audience and bring in new viewers while at the same time rewarding their existing fans by saying, hey, we're going to give you something really cool. So I don't really see the need to shit on something. People will, of course, because they're miserable fucks. But I find nothing to complain about with the announcement of an AEW New Japan show. This is exactly the sort of thing that I think makes wrestling very fun. You know, you don't see WWE doing stuff like that. They operate in their own little bubble. That's the way they do business. Hey, in a perfect world, I'd love to see WWE try stuff like this and do some kind of a joint show with another company. They don't have to, though, because they're they don't have to because they're making money regardless. But the point is, it's fun. And it's okay to do stuff like this, even if you think it doesn't bring in any new fans. Because you know what? I'm a hardcore fan, and something like this appeals to me. What about me? I sound like fucking Raven now. What about me? What about everybody in the chat? So you're going to see a lot of people shitting on it and saying, oh my God, there Tony Khan goes again, catering to the diehards. How does this make new fans for AEW? But I think it's a great announcement. I think it lived up to the billing as far as being something that, would appeal to wrestling fans across the spectrum. And now we get to wonder what the card is going to look like. We've got about 9 weeks until this show. And we'll see exactly what the what the card looks like. What about Solomon? So I'm going to start doing the Raven pose. Quote, the Solomonster nevermore. But it's true. I mean, again, I like the analogy. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. Tony Khan can appeal to multiple audiences all at once. Just because this is something that maybe you're not a New Japan fan doesn't mean that there isn't going to be an audience for this. And I got news for you. They're running the United Center in Chicago. They could have run a bigger building for this if they wanted to. If anything, this building is going to be too small. So they're going to have a building with 14,000 people capacity. It's probably about what they can fit. You know, when they were there for CM Punk's return in August without even announcing CM Punk, they never even said the man's name. And they sold out. They sold out the allotment of tickets that they opened up. I don't know what the, it's not the full capacity, but whatever they open it up to. They're not going to have any issues selling tickets to this show. It's going to be a hot ticket for a lot of people who are going to, in some cases, people are going to be flying in for this show. Maybe it'll turn into an annual thing if it goes well. We'll see. But this is a bigger deal, in my view, for New Japan than it is for AEW. It's a cool thing for AEW to do. It's something for New Japan, I think, that comes at a time where they really need it. Because one thing that is true, the New Japan product right now is very cold. The New Japan product right now, and COVID has a lot to do with it. Injuries have a lot to do with it. It is very cold. The New Japan product is colder, I think more so to fans in this country at least, but it's colder overall, more so now than it has been in years. This is the sort of thing I think that could do them a lot of good. You know, some of their talent might be appearing on TNT and TBS over these next 2 months. Gives them more exposure. They don't have a television deal here in this country like AEW does or WWE. They don't have that level of exposure. AEW, in effect, is almost, I don't want to make it sound like the company's, you know, knocking on death's door, but they're kind of throwing them a lifeline in a way. AEW doesn't need this. New Japan, though, could really benefit from this. This could be the real shot in the arm that they need. Lapsed fans maybe who stopped watching and paying attention during the pandemic to what's going on, all of a sudden, maybe they'll have an interest in trying to get back into the New Japan product. So I do think it's a bigger deal for them than it is for AEW. But interesting, you know, as we talk about what the potential, matches could be and what the card might look like. Earlier this year, Okada, he did an interview in Sports Illustrated. And this is a quote. This is from earlier this year, the beginning of the year. Bryan Danielson and CM Punk would make for some incredible matches. A lot of those dream match scenarios are about getting excited for the possibilities, and once the match is done, it's done. So it is important to keep that excitement and anticipation. Still, if we wait too long, they'll both retire eventually. So I want to face them both while they're still active. And in response to that quote at the time, CM Punk went on Twitter, and he said, "Here's my address, come see me, 1901 West Madison Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60612. That is the address for the United Center. And so here we are. 4 months later, here we are. A lot of match possibilities, not only for this show, but for the future as well. Hopefully there's more collaboration between them in the future, whether it be here or in Japan. I was just, during the show, just jotting down some matches. And this probably isn't even all of them. Your list might look different than mine, but just jotting down matches that I think would be cool to see. And I think the main event for this show is the obvious choice, I think, would be Okada against CM Punk. Because they literally teased it already. In that very building, they already teased it. Now, Okada is the champion. CM Punk is probably challenging for the title before this show. Double or Nothing in Vegas. They set the stage tonight. And I'm going to talk about it in a second. The first face-off with Hangman Page and CM Punk. we could be setting up for a champion versus champion match. If CM Punk wins the title in Vegas, it could be Punk against Okada. And title or no title, not that any titles would be on the line, but champion against champion or not, that to me would seem to be the obvious match for them to do. Punk against Kenta, don't forget, you know, the battle of the GTS. Kenta for years has said that's a match that he wants. Now, it could happen. If not on this show, maybe on another one. CM Punk against Kenta. Honestly, the match that I would love to see, if you ask me, Sala Monster, this whole idea of AEW against New Japan or AEW talent maybe going over to New Japan, you know, what's the match that you would want to see? I'm sure Punk and Okada would be great. The match that I want to see, you know, of all these different possibilities, is Okada and Bryan Danielson. That is a match that I always thought, man, if one day that match could be put together, and it just seemed like a pipe dream when Bryan worked for WWE. But I always said, man, that would be a fucking fantastic match to be able to see. And I never thought we'd get to see it. Bryan retired for 3 years. Then he came back. And now we very well might be able to get that match. That's the match that I would do. I would love to see that match. You could do that, and then you could do CM Punk against Will Ospreay. And you would still have a great 1-2 punch there. Shingo. Don't forget about Shingo. If you don't know who that is, Shingo Takagi, you need to start paying attention. Shingo is fantastic. Shingo against Danielson would be a great match. I feel like Shingo against Darby Allin would be fun too. I don't know, just something about that match that I think would be very appealing. Kota Ibushi against someone like Sammy Guevara. And the sad part is Kota Ibushi is still out hurt. He's been out now for a while. It doesn't sound like he's going to be on his way back probably anytime soon. I think it's very unlikely he'll be back in time for this show. But that's a match I would have loved to have seen at some point. Jon Moxley against Hiroshi Tanahashi. Moxley has called out Tanahashi. They're going to wrestle at the New Japan show. They're having a show in DC next month on May 15th, Capital Collision. They could always run the match back in Chicago in June and do it a second time. Samoa Joe, the man who's wrestling Adam Cole on Friday. Samoa Joe against Ishii. And then there's Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega has been gone since he lost the championship to Hangman Page at Full Gear. Kenny Omega, as of a few weeks ago, still had, I think, another surgery left to go. I think it's maybe for a hernia or something. So it's going to be questionable. But I would think that Kenny Omega is going to want to fight to get back in time to be part of the show. I don't know if he will or not. If he is, I think Omega against Jay White would be a match that would make sense. Of course, Omega, Okada at some point, would love to see them go at it one more time. So a lot of really fun possibilities. If you are not a New Japan fan, maybe this helps get you into the product. Maybe it doesn't. But you know what? I don't give a shit because I'm happy. And you know what? If I'm happy, then that's all that matters. Because it's my show. And you're here. So hit the like button. And subscribe. Hit the sub button if you are not already subscribed. Super chats are open. We already have a whole bunch of them popping up on my screen. I'm going to read all of your messages. And we'll do that a little bit later on. We'll hang out here. Man, that smoke from before. Still waving that shit out here. So we opened the show with CM Punk. And by the way, I should probably mention Dynamite tonight. There was a show tonight. To me, this announcement kind of took me out of it. I was more focused on that than I was the actual show. I thought the show tonight, it was a good show. Not I think, overall one of their strongest, everything was just a home run or anything like that. It doesn't have to be. I think tonight was a perfectly fine show. There was enough on the show tonight, I think, for me to give it a thumbs up. There were a few wonky spots. We'll go through it here as we go along. But we open with a very good match. CM Punk, as we did last week, Punk opened the show against Penta. CM Punk, this week, one-on-one against Dustin Rhodes. Two men who, until tonight, despite the time they spent together on the WWE roster at the same time, have never gone one-on-one before. Until now. Punk against Dustin. Dustin came into this match with 16 wins in his last 20 matches, all of which clearly have come from Dark, where the vast majority of those wins have come on AEW Dark, because Dustin is not on television every single week. But we had a handshake to start things off. Punk avoided a running crossbody that sent Dustin crashing hard to the floor. He was favoring his knee. Punk got him back into the ring, worked over the knee, heading into the first break. After the break, Dustin worked his way back into control, and he hit the 10 punches in the corner. When he jumped off the middle rope, his knee buckled under him, and he cursed, and he fell down. He was really selling the knee injury. Dustin came back with a code red for a near fall, dropped down for the uppercut, got the snap power slam we always see him doing. Again, Punk kicked out just as he did after the code red. Punk again targeted the knee, locked on the figure four, but eventually Dustin reversed the hold. Punk got the rope break. Very, very methodical, you know, a very different pace during this match than we are used to seeing in a lot of AEW matches. And I think that's a pattern that you're seeing with Punk, and I think also to a lesser extent Bryan Danielson. You know, when Danielson was having that string of great singles matches and trying to incorporate a different finish to every single one of those matches. You know, these are guys that have been doing this for a very long time. So they know, you know, they can't go out there and do the things that Dante Martin and Sammy Guevara and all these different people are able to do, because they're just not that kind of wrestler, number one. And number two, they're in their 40s. So you can tell, like, when Punk is in there, things slow down a little bit. But, you know, I think Punk, as he gets older, clearly is trying to, because he loves the guy so much. I can't say that I blame him, but clearly Punk is trying to model himself in a lot of ways off Bret Hart. You could tell he's a student of Bret Hart matches, because a lot of his matches, they have sort of a Bret Hart quality to them, whether it's focusing on a body part. I mean, that used to be basic wrestling 101. That wasn't even just a Bret Hart thing, but I think it's something that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of wrestlers have gotten away from, because now a lot of it is unfortunately about spots and dives and code reds and destroyers and thumbtacks and chairs and tables. And, you know, I don't think that's, you know, the crotchety old man talking. I think that's just a fact. You know, wrestling has gotten away from a lot of that stuff. You needed a Bryan Danielson. You need a CM Punk to kind of bring it back to basics. That's what these two did here in this match. Nothing overly flashy, but everything they did made sense. Dustin hit the crossroads and then a pile driver, but Punk again kicked out. Punk came back, got him up on his shoulders for the GTS, but Dustin slipped out. And Punk hooked Dustin's legs forward for the deep pin, and he got the three count. Actually, very much kind of similar to SummerSlam, the Bret Hart match in Wembley. Kind of a similar finish. So Punk gets the win. Hangman Page walked out on stage with the AEW title over his shoulder as Punk was leaving. Two of them came face to face. The crowd was loud for this. So if you were wondering, who's the crowd going to be into the idea of a CM Punk Hangman Page match? This crowd in Pittsburgh was. They were loud for this face to face. Punk smirked. He walked to the back. They were chanting cowboy shit. Very interesting. Very interesting how into Hangman they were. This was almost universally a positive reaction for Hangman Page. I didn't hear any CM Punk chants. This crowd was into Hangman. Because I know there's been some debate also about the kind of champion that he is, and he feels kind of cold, and his reign has been very uneventful. There are moments where they don't focus on him in a way that they should. You know, as the top guy, he should be, you know, the most focused on guy. But again, you look at his body of work in the ring since he became champion. He's had excellent matches up and down the line with the match where he won the title from Omega, the matches with Danielson, even the Texas Death Match with Archer, the matches with Adam Cole. You know, he goes in there and he knocks it out of the park each and every time. I think he even had a quick, fun match with Dante Martin, I think, once on an episode of Dynamite. So his body of work over the last few months has been excellent. And the crowd hasn't wavered. You know, it's not like he's going out there and getting mixed reactions or hearing crickets. You know, they've created a star. They've created a believable main event star in Hangman Page. And the fans took to him. So when they get in the ring together, it will be in Vegas. It'll be very interesting because they have to be doing the match at Double or Nothing. It'll be very interesting what the crowd split is. Is it 50-50? Is it mostly for Punk? You know, usually in a situation like this, the crowd wants the title change. And, you know, Punk has a lot of fans, so it should, if anything, I think 50-50 leaning towards Punk But if tonight's crowd is any indication, maybe it won't be. Maybe that won't be the case. But Punk picks up his sixth straight match, continues to crank out great matches with every win, sets the table now for the next pay-per-view. And I enjoyed this. I thought this was an enjoyable opener. Earlier today, Wardlow arrived at the arena. Mark Sterling greeted him and said that security would be escorting him to his locker, to the ring for his match with the Butcher, and then immediately out of the building. And he also needed to be handcuffed, so they cuffed Wardlow's hands in front of him. And finally, once he was cuffed, naturally, he relayed a message from MJF, which was, "Eat shit, pig." And off went Mark Sterling, and Wardlow just smiled and said, "Oink, oink, bitch." Then he told security to pick up his bag for him, and they went off to the locker room somewhere. We have the Blackpool Combat Club, Brian Danielson, Wheeler Yuta, and Jon Moxley entering in that order. William Regal back on commentary, taking on Dante Martin, Brock Anderson, and Pittsburgh's own. I didn't know that, but they said Pittsburgh's own, Lee Moriarty. So Regal, as I said, was on commentary. Now, when I hear Regal and Jim Ross together on commentary, I don't know how many of you thought the same thing. It takes me back to those early days of NXT. In fact, the very first episode of NXT, once it was branded as NXT, had, I believe, Jim Ross and William Regal on commentary. I think they may have only had Jim Ross for that first episode. It might have just been the one episode. But that's going back probably, God, what was that, 2014? Probably, I guess it would have, well, maybe, yeah, 2014, probably. So the Blackpool Combat Club, immediately, they go after their opponents right before the bell. Yuta locked Dante in a bow and arrow. Danielson tagged in, but Dante fought him and Moxley off before tagging in Brock, not Lesnar. Moxley took down Anderson with a half and half heading into the break. After the break, Moriarty, he's on the apron. People are chanting, "Lee, Lee, Lee." They want this kid to tag into this match. Finally, he tags in, and he got a nice reaction. Danielson smacked the soul out of him, and he came right back, and he smacked Danielson. But Danielson ended up getting locked in the Border City stretch, got out of it, hit a Regalplex. Dante tagged in. He took out Danielson with a springboard dropkick, hit a springboard dive out onto Moxley on the floor. But then he went for his double jump, and he hesitated. When he jumped from one rope to the other, he almost lost his balance, but he caught himself, and then he stood there and posed for 2 seconds. And that's all Jon Moxley needed, because Dante came flying backwards off the ropes, right into the clutches of Jon Moxley, who locked on the bulldog choke. Moriarty tried to break it up. Danielson, though, cut him off, and then caved his head in with stomps. At the same time, on the other side of the ring, Wheeler Yuta started raining elbows down on Brock. Fans were going nuts for this. Moxley dropped Dante with the paradigm shift and covered him for the win. You know, the paradigm shift looked like absolute shit before Moxley went away and went to rehab. He wasn't putting any effort into it at all. You know, and obviously he had other issues going on. He wasn't feeling the best. Who knows how that may have played a role. But I used to comment on that. I said, boy, he's not even trying. He's just picking the guy up. It's just a regular slam. Ever since he dropped the weight, came back from rehab, I will say, you know, the paradigm shift has looked a lot better. Has looked a lot better. But I'm loving the Blackpool Combat Club stuff so far. It's exactly what I was hoping we would see. They are following exactly what I was hoping that we would see. We get the union between Moxley and Danielson. I had no idea they were bringing Regal in. That was fucking a fantastic move on Tony Khan's part. And then hopefully bringing some young talent under their wing. Now, right now, it's only one. It's Wheeler Yuta. Are they going to add more? I don't know. Right now, I think these three work. I don't think you need to add anybody else yet. At some point, they might want to add a female. It might make sense to add a woman. But right now, I love the combination that they have. They just go out there and they kick ass. After this is when we got the announcement that I already talked about the Forbidden Door show. We got that segment. So then we had Wardlow one-on-one against the Butcher. a very noticeably slimmed down Butcher. I've given him some praise in recent weeks, but again, I look at him now and it's noticeable. The difference is noticeable. He's looking in much better shape than he was in previously. So MJF and Sean Spears were in the upper deck. They were eating popcorn. Wardlow was about to make his way out for his match. MJF said that Wardlow would be coming out without entrance music, cuffed, which is what happened. He was led to the ring by the security staff, hands cuffed in front of him. The only thing missing was the black towel over his head. This reminded me of Kane in 2003 when he was chained and he would come out and they would have to unchain him. Now, a lot of people think that that's their favorite version of Kane. That was a pretty badass version of Kane. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it was the best. I still go back to, either original Kane or 2000. But, you know, that period of time where he would be in the back of the ambulance and they would escort him out in chains. Yeah, that was a pretty cool version of Kane. This kind of had a little bit of that vibe here where Wardlow has to be uncuffed before he goes into the ring. I got to tell you, I actually think that this would be a fine addition to his entrance going forward, where the guy he's just such a, he's so unrestrained and wild, a wild beast. He has to be handcuffed and then released before he can, you know, enter the ring and murder his opponent. So we got a shoulder tackle from Wardlow, which sent the Butcher to the floor. Butcher then drove Wardlow into the ring apron and the barricade. Back inside, Butcher hit a powerbomb, but Wardlow kicked out at one. Wardlow then came back with the powerbomb symphony, a total of four powerbombs for the win. After the match, Wardlow was handcuffed again and led away from the ring smiling, and they showed MJF up in the upper deck there. He did not look very happy. We got a backstage segment. Eddie Kingston was addressing Daniel Garcia. And he's going to wrestle Garcia on Rampage this Friday. He said their stablemates will not be allowed in the building. He told Jericho everything he does to Garcia is exactly what he is going to do to him later on. So he issues a threat. I get the sense that that is not the first threat that Eddie Kingston has issued to somebody in his life. We had the Owen Hart Cup. In fact, on this show, we had a couple. Get a couple of Owen Hart Cup qualifying matches here on this show. This was the men's Owen Hart Cup qualifier, Jungle Boy, one-on-one against Kyle O'Reilly. Let me just give a shout-out to everybody who is joining live here on the stream tonight. Welcome, welcome. Hit that like button. Grab a snack, grab a drink. We're still going to be here for a while. I do welcome each and every single one of you here tonight. Very eventful night. You missed Tony Khan's big announcement. You'll probably see it scrolling on the bottom of your screen, but you can go back to the beginning. We talked about that. But now we're talking about the Owen Hart Cup. Jungle Boy one-on-one against Kyle O'Reilly of Red Dragon. We had a back-and-forth exchange. Jungle Boy took O'Reilly down with a dropkick. O'Reilly got the better of things, went for an armbar, but Jungle Boy had it scouted. And O'Reilly hit three butterfly suplexes leading into a commercial break. Once they came back, Jungle Boy dumped O'Reilly over the top rope, hit a suicide dive, and then a comeback lariat. Back inside, Jungle Boy thought about the snare trap. Took too long, though. O'Reilly applied an ankle lock. Jungle Boy escaped and locked on the snare trap finally. And he forced O'Reilly to fight and scratch and claw, and finally he made his way to the bottom rope. O'Reilly then hit a modified brainbuster, climbed up top, hit the diving knee drop, and got the clean win over Jungle Boy. Kyle O'Reilly advances to the Owen Hart Cup tournament. That result is going to surprise a lot of people. It didn't surprise me. Kyle is Canadian. I don't know. I mean, that you should have seen that finish coming, because I did. Once I realized, so wait a minute. Kyle's a fellow Canadian here. He at least has to be able to enter. I'm not saying he has to win the whole thing, but he should at least be in the tournament. So Kyle O'Reilly picks up the win. After the match, Christian Cage came out looking like a disappointed dad. He did not look happy. He walked out, greeted Jungle Boy on the ramp. I thought he was about to smack him upside the head, but they talked a little bit, and then they walked to the back together. As far as the match itself, I enjoyed it. People were kind of quiet for it. It was a... you know, again, it was the kind of match that you would expect Kyle to have in terms of some of the submissions, and Jungle Boy was showing more aggression. Clearly, they've been working, or he's been working more of that into his character. So when he's in there, he has more of a mean streak to him. So I thought they worked well together. I thought it was a good match. Not as good as the opener. I enjoyed the opener more, but I thought it was a good match. MJF was backstage with Sean Spears, and he once again referred to himself, said, you know, I'm a snake. And he produced an envelope that had money inside, and he was offering it to someone, and into camera frame walks Jake the Snake Roberts, who we have not seen on TV in a while. Jake was sweating profusely, and he took the envelope, and he cut a promo. Lance Archer eventually came over and slapped the envelope down out of his hands and said, all he wants to do is get into the ring and fight Wardlow. So that match is coming up. It's going to be Wardlow next week against Lance Archer. We had Hook in his in-ring Dynamite debut. So far, we've only seen Hook on Rampage. And then I think he was on, was he on the pay-per-view or the buy-in show? We have not seen him wrestle on Dynamite, though, until now. Hook, one-on-one against Anthony Henry. Hook picked the ankle, went for a single leg crab. He laid in some strikes in the corner and then, of course, went to work. He had some judo throws and some suplexes. They showed Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling in the crowd watching and scouting. Hook hit a sliding lariat and landed some crossface strikes. And then all of a sudden, outside the ring, pops Danhausen. And the people went nuts for him. So all you people who say, what is the appeal of Danhausen? I don't get it. Why is Danhausen signed? Why is Danhausen there? The people in Pittsburgh, they love seeing Danhausen. And he tried to put a curse. He tried to put that fucking Danhausen curse on Hook here in the middle of this match. And again, he failed. This is a recurring pattern now in these segments. And all Hook did, he just kind of stood there and looked. And Hook locked in the red rum on Anthony Henry. And he got the submission win. After the match, Danhausen had had enough because he's been trying this shit for weeks. It doesn't work. He climbed up into the ring. He put his finger right in Hook's chest. And he was saying he doesn't want to help Hook. He wants to fight Hook. And then I think he realized the error that he had made. He realized the mistake that he had just made by saying that. And he slowly pulled his finger away. And Hook just blew right past him. He kind of bumped shoulders with him and walked to the back. So, hey, if we get Danhausen being murdered by Hook, I'm all for it. But I do think that the other option that I floated, was it last week or a couple of weeks ago? I said this goes one of two ways. Either Hook murders Danhausen, and now I don't see that happening because the people like Danhausen. And I don't think they want people turning against Hook. So I don't think he's going to murder Danhausen. I think what's going to end up happening here is it's going to be a situation where, yeah, maybe they'll have a match. It'll probably be goofy. Won't last very long. Maybe there won't be a winner. But he is going to become very, I think, protective of Danhausen. So Hook will keep doing what he's doing, but anybody who tries to mess with Danhausen, they've got to go through him first. It'll be something, I think, along those lines. And I saw somebody in the chat before mention the Rock and Sock connection. There are similarities, I think, to what they're going for here. Obviously, this is on a very different level, right? Rock and Mankind were two of the biggest stars in the entire business at the time. Rock being the biggest next to Austin. I mean, it was Austin Rock, right? So this is different. Hook is a rookie. Hook is still working his way up the ranks. Hook still had, I don't think he's had a match longer than, what, 5 minutes? And then you have Danhausen, whatever the fuck Danhausen is. It's very different. But look, the people, the AEW audience, they're into it. They love Hook and they love Danhausen. Say what you want. You cannot deny that. It's like the people who would shit on Orange Cassidy. The guy was over. And Tony Khan would talk about how, look, he looks at the quarter hours and he would see spikes for Orange Cassidy matches. Just because you don't get it doesn't mean that there aren't a ton of other people out there who don't. Look, I don't necessarily get it either. I'm not the biggest fan of some of this stuff, but the people reacted to it. As long as it doesn't take Hook into a path of comedy where he starts doing goofy shit, I think that would be a mistake. I don't think they're going to do that. So we'll see when they have their match, whenever that is, we'll see how they play this up. But I have a feeling that's the direction that it's going to go. We had Frankie Kazarian in the back. He was about to issue a challenge to Sammy Guevara for his newly won TNT championship. All of a sudden, he was interrupted by his former partner, Scorpio Sky, who just lost the TNT title on Battle of the Belts last weekend, the worst TNT title reign of all time. He said he needed to ask a favor of his friend. He said he wanted Frankie to hold off on asking for a title match so that he could go to the ring in the next segment and challenge Sammy Guevara to a rematch for the TNT championship. And he said when he wins the title back, he promises that Frankie will get the first shot. And Frankie said, look, I've always had your back, and I always will. So he agreed. He agreed to hold off on issuing a challenge. Don't forget that Frankie Kazarian, he is the, what do they call him? What does he call himself? The Elite Hunter? Is that his awful nickname? Is he still the Elite Hunter? I don't think they use that name tonight, which is good. Because they shouldn't. Speaking of Sammy, here he comes. Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti, they're already in the ring. Which was an interesting choice that they didn't show the full entrance, you know, on maybe it was picture in picture, I don't know. But when they came back, there they were. They were in the ring. I'm sure they did not get a very warm welcome on their way to the ring, nor did they get one when they were in the ring. And Sammy said, look, he was happy to be here. He was wearing a jacket with a fur hood. And he says, it's great to be a three-time TNT champion. He says to all the fans who continue to cheer and support us, thank you. To anybody who doesn't like him and Ty, he said, be mad. And then he said they were just jealous that his girlfriend is hotter than theirs. So if there was any doubt after what happened at Battle of the Belts when Sammy used a low blow to win back the TNT title, they are leaning into the heel heat that he has been receiving, that he and Ty have been receiving. And they had no other choice. It was the only move to make. It was the only move to make. You don't pull the Cody Rhodes thing and fight against it. You embrace it. You lean into it. These two together on TV, there's a naturally obnoxious quality that they have. I'm not talking about the vlogs, but on television, especially after he won the title last weekend, there's no way these two should be anything other than a heel couple on TV. And so it's great that they see the same thing and they're leaning into it. They're embracing it instead of fighting against it. Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, and Dan Lambert interrupt. They walk out on stage. And Ethan Page said that nobody came to hear Sammy Guevara talking to a microphone. The only reason they're not attacking Sammy right now is that Dan Lambert, for him tonight, it's all business. And he handed the mic to Dynamite Dan, who absolutely wrecked these two when he told them, you either give Sky his rematch or I send these two men to give you the type of pounding that your girlfriend dreams about. And the crowd reacted to that, as you would imagine. They have managed to turn Dan Lambert babyface. I feel like I'm living in some kind of fucking bizarro world. We saw this with Cody and Brandy. They managed to turn Dan Lambert babyface. And now Sammy and Ty Conti have done the same thing. Dan Lambert is basically a babyface now, whether they meant for him to be or not. So he was certainly a babyface here in front of this crowd. Guevara said that Scorpio Sky could get his rematch if they agree to give him and Ty the mixed tag match that he had asked them for previously involving Paige Van Zandt. So they agreed. And as they agreed, they started playing Sammy's music the way that people get played off stage at the Oscars when they talk for too long. So they and this really felt noticeable in the main event. But now that I look back on it here in this segment, it's pretty clear they were crunching for time. And they were basically playing these guys off. And then Sammy, as the segment, they're trying to wrap up the segment, Sammy goes, all right, yeah, I'll see you next week in a ladder match. He just kind of threw that out there as like, oh, by the way, it's going to be a ladder match. just felt completely unnecessary, just completely, you know, tacked on, just like a total afterthought. And honestly, it also feels like overkill after we got that great ladder match with Cody and Sammy for the TNT title when Cody lost the championship back to Guevara. But you know what? I guess that was 3 months ago. It doesn't feel that long to me. But yeah, I guess it was. It was 3 months ago already. Even still, though, I think that match is still fresh in a lot of people's minds. You know, to do another ladder match now, I don't know. It kind of makes sense, you know, that they would go ahead and want to add some kind of a stipulation, but I don't know. We just saw it fairly recently. I don't know that this needs to be a ladder match, but a ladder match is what it's going to be. We had Danielle Camella, formerly a member of the NXT roster. For those of you who say, I know this woman from somewhere, but I can't quite put my finger on it, NXT. One-on-one against the hometown hero, her first appearance since losing her title in the cage match to Thunder Rosa last month. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, comes out to a huge reaction. She's flanked by two members of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have no idea who these two men are. Apparently, I guess they're draft picks, I guess. I got their names. Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth, I think is his name. If I'm pronouncing that correctly, I apologize to all the... Actually, I don't apologize to the Pittsburgh fans. But they escorted Dr. Baker down to the ring. After a picture-in-picture break, they came back. Camella started choking Britt with her terrible towel. Right? Is that what they called it? Is that what they're called? Terrible towels? Steelers, the yellow towels. Why'd they call them terrible towels? Crowd booed. Britt, though, made a comeback, hit a sling blade. She hit a curb stomp, asked one of the Steelers players, I think it was Pat, for her glove. Put the glove on, applied lockjaw, and picked up the win. Mr. Dynamite says either they're rookies or free agents that they recently signed. I think they're rookies, but again, I could be wrong. Terrible towels. That's what they... Why are they called terrible towels? I mean, they do look like shit, so I guess the name kind of fits, but... It's been like that since the 70s. Why are they called terrible towels? Because they're not very good, says Hamwall. Yeah, it seems like it. So, Britt Baker now joins Tony Storm. This was an Owen Hart qualifier, by the way. So, Britt Baker now joins Tony Storm, Jamie Hayter, Ruby Soho, Hikaru Shida, and Red Velvet as the women to qualify so far. Britt then grabbed the microphone. This was not her best work. She talked about the women's division, how it has been a disaster without her. She buried this entire division. I know she's a heel. Tonight she wasn't. Tonight she was a full-on babyface, but she buried this whole fucking division 6 feet under. She ran down Ruby Soho, she ran down Tony Storm, and she joked that if Tony thought, you know, cake to the face was bad, she'll really be disgusted with getting her face dragged around the ring by Jamie Hayter. She talked about Jade Cargill and her baddie section and said the only people who came to see Jade are the people who she gave free tickets to. She questioned whether it was worse for Red Velvet to be a baddie or getting her ass kicked by Britt last year. And then she called herself the baddest bitch on the block. And that was the end of the promo. She was sucking wind the entire time, having just wrestled that match. She was totally out of breath as she tried to cut this promo. Like I said, this was not her best work. But then Najee, is that the guy's name? One of the players? When the segment ended and they started playing Britt Baker's music, he took the microphone from her and he started talking like he was going to cut a promo. And then he realized, ah, shit. Because I think they turned the mic off. And then this guy, you can see him in the background. He's like talking into the mic and cutting a promo. I'm like, what is this fucking moron doing? Are these the kind of players that Pittsburgh drafts? He can't tell the microphone is off. You're not supposed to be going into business for yourself here. This is not your show. So the main event was Darby Allin against Andrade El Idolo in a coffin match. Andrade has his family office with him. The Blade was out there. Mark Quinn of Private Party. I didn't see Isaiah Cassidy, but maybe he was there. Mark Quinn was there. So he had some of his family office members out there with him to help him. And Darby was all by himself. And so they're kicking his ass. They sent him into the crowd. He was standing. At one point, Mark Quinn is in the crowd, and he's talking shit down to Darby, who's laid out on the ground. And behind Mark Quinn, yeah, and SD Luke in the chat says that guy wanted to be the Rock. He looked like he was trying to be the Rock. I'm like, dude, this is not your time. What are you doing here? But Mark Quinn is in the crowd, and behind Mark Quinn is somebody who is wearing a Sting mask, who pulls the mask off to reveal Sting. So they went with the old TNA gag, which never gets old. Every time I see that meme, it never gets old. Sting wearing the Sting mask will never not be funny to me. And so he's out there. He's wearing a black shirt, black jeans, sneakers. He doesn't have his gloves on. He's in, you know, civilian gear. And so he starts beating up Mark Quinn. Now everybody is brawling deeper into the crowd. Sting is fighting off the members of Andrade's group. Andrade is fighting Darby. And they're going deeper. Yes, they did it in WCW as well. I'm sorry. It's not the TNA gag. It was the WCW gag first. I stand corrected. You are correct. But Sting has a history of doing this. The TNA thing was a playoff what he did in WCW. This was a playoff what he did previously. We never got to see him do it, though, in WWE, I don't think, right? Not that I can remember. He wasn't there long enough. If you want proof that WWE did not know how to use Sting, the fact that they never got around to doing the Sting wearing a Sting mask gimmick, although JBL still believes to this day that they were looking at a picture of Sting that one episode on Raw, It was Sting dressed up as Mr. Stink. I'm telling you, Sting cosplaying as Sting. He probably goes around like that on Halloween. I can picture Sting. His kids are fully grown. I don't know how many kids he has. I know he has at least one son. So his kids are fully grown. The man is 62, I think 63 years old. I could picture him on Halloween just going around cosplaying as himself. Sting mask over his face, just going around, you know, getting candy. His wife won't let him eat any. So he sneaks out and grabs one of those jack-o'-lantern things, and he goes around and he steals candy from all the kids, dressed up as himself. So they brawl, as I said, deeper and deeper into the crowd. Sting no-sold a chair shot to the back by Mark Quinn. And then Mark Quinn, who is standing on the railing of a balcony, he shoves Mark Quinn off. Mark Quinn takes a dive onto the other heels down below. And Sting just could not help himself. Sting sees a railing. He climbs up onto the railing and he jumps off. This was Sting's second balcony dive in the last 6 or 7 weeks. He dives off the balcony. You can tell he enjoys it. You can tell, like, he is living his best life right now. This man enjoys just diving and throwing his body around. And all I'm doing is I'm sitting here watching this, just hoping that he doesn't kill himself and ends up crippled on the floor. But he landed okay, and they went to break. Yes, as Bill said, Sting is 2 years away from being eligible for Medicare, and he does that. But he loves it. He really is. You know what? He really is. He's turning into Terry Funk, I think, in his old age. He's following the Terry Funk blueprint. And Funk actually is in pretty bad shape right now. Funk is in a nursing home, basically, using a walker. I don't want to see Sting pushing a walker around in 10 years, so hopefully he takes care of himself. But back from break, Andrade caught Darby on the floor coming off the top with a coffin drop. He caught him in midair, dumped him with a German suplex. Andrade tried to put Darby in the casket, which was laying. It's one of those small caskets laying outside. You know, similar to the caskets we've seen Darby use before in matches. The inside of the casket lid, sticking out of the interior of the lid, were thumbtacks, littered in thumbtacks. So Darby is in the casket. He places his arm against the lid on the inside. So he's putting his arm right in the tacks, but he's trying to keep that lid from being slammed shut. by Andrade. Andrade then picks him up, suplexes him on the ramp, suplexes him on a metal grate that was next to the stage. It was almost like a metal extension of the stage. He drags Darby back down to ringside. Darby makes a comeback. He goes into the ring, hits that just suicide dive, rockets himself right through the ropes, right into Andrade. They both land inside the casket. And Darby climbs out. He tries to close the lid. He closes it on Andrade's arm with the tacks. Here comes Jose. Jose, the assistant, comes down to the ring, takes his shirt off. He ends up getting backdropped onto the inside of the lid, which was now open, so he gets backdropped onto the tacks. Darby slams the lid on Andrade, who is still in the casket. He slams the lid, tacks first, down onto Andrade's body, lays on top of the casket, and Darby Allin wins the casket match. And here comes Sting, who apparently, I guess he went to the back. Here he comes, back from the locker room, back down to the ring. He's coming out to celebrate with Darby. And then in the final 10 seconds of this show, I almost didn't even see it until I think Excalibur mentioned it. The Hardys are here. I go, what? I look up, and there's Matt and Jeff Hardy on stage celebrating, doing the delete gesture towards Andrade and the family office. Delete, delete, delete. We got the Hardys doing delete in the last 10 seconds of the show. They just decided to show up randomly. That is how they went off the air. This all felt very rushed. You know, in these types of matches with Darby, you know what to expect. You know, it's fun to see Sting trying things that we've never seen him do before, but I got to tell you, now that we've seen it twice, I feel like every time we see Sting doing a balcony dive, you're just, and I'm not trying to be funny now. I mean, you do it once, it's crazy, but okay, what a fucking spot, right? He does it a second time, and he's still crazy, but now it's starting to lose some of that, you know, luster it had the first time you saw it. I don't need to see him do that ever again. Because now I don't want him to feel like he has to do this every single time, has to keep one-upping himself. That's how people get hurt. And I take it back to when Sting signed with AEW, and my concern was, you know, he had the neck issue, and look, I don't want to see the guy crippled up by doing something that he feels he has to impress people by doing. Sting is in that rarefied air when it comes to legends in the wrestling business. Sting does not have to do a fucking thing for the rest of his life. He has already cemented his spot in the business. Now, again, I get the sense he genuinely enjoys doing this, and more power to him. But I don't want to see him get hurt. We've seen it twice. It's funny. Haha. I'm hoping that he got it out of his system. We don't have to see it anymore. I just feel like you're tempting fate. And I just think back to, you know, Otani. You know, that was a big story this past week. What happened to him over in Japan, also a legend over there, 50 years old almost. And that wasn't even on a fucking balcony dive or anything crazy. That was a German suplex he took into the turnbuckles. And he's probably paralyzed now for the rest of his life. He can't move his arms and legs. You know, you think about stuff like that. Anyway. This it felt rushed there. I thought there was more to like than not about this show. And again, I think the announcement sort of overshadowed everything. But Rampage on Friday night, how I even wrote all these matches down the way Excalibur was talking is just ridiculous. I think I got everything. I mean, they have to stop. They really do. They have to stop and let this man speak and take his time running down these shows. It's comical, like, how quickly he has to speed read through these things, to the point where during the main event, he apologized as if he misread something, and then they had him reread some of the match reads, and they put the graphics up on the screen. Well, maybe if you let him read it at a normal speed in the first place, he wouldn't have to apologize and repeat himself. Ridiculous. Who can possibly keep track of what he's saying? You can't even process the matches that he's announcing. Like he's an auctioneer. Rampage on Friday night is back in its normal spot. Adam Cole takes on Ishii in an Owen Hart qualifier. Lance Archer murders Serpentico. Eddie Kingston takes on Daniel Garcia, and Jade Cargill will defend her TBS championship on TNT, which makes no sense. But she will defend the TBS title on TNT against Marina Shafir. Dynamite next Wednesday, Serena Deeb one-on-one against Hikaru Shida. They're going to settle their differences in a Philadelphia street fight. So here we go again. More plunder and hardcore stuff. Wardlow one-on-one. But my hope there, by the way, is that Serena wins, and she is the one to challenge Thunder Rosa at Double or Nothing. Remember, I mentioned Serena last week. She's my pick. She's my choice to be the next challenger for the championship. But in order to do that, she's got to win next week. We've got Wardlow one-on-one against Lance Archer. Dax Harwood. This is very interesting. This is an Owen Hart, Men's Owen Hart Cup qualifier next Wednesday. It's going to be Dax Harwood one-on-one with Cash Wheeler. So the members of FTR are going to go one-on-one. Only one of them can advance in the tournament. Reminds me of when they put Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, DIY, against each other. I think it was in the Cruiserweight Classic, right? It was either a qualifier or it was the opening round. So that'll be a good match. Sammy Guevara one-on-one against Scorpio Sky next Wednesday in a ladder match for the TNT title. And a 10-man tag, Adam Cole, Red Dragon, and the Young Bucks. So it is the Undisputed Elite taking on Dante Martin, Varsity Blondes, Lee Johnson, and Brock Anderson. What happened to Darius Martin? This is going to be the second week in a row now that Dante is without his brother. Did he get hurt again? Did I miss something here? Did he get injured again? I don't know where Darius Martin disappeared to. But that's your lineup. That's your lineup for Rampage on Friday and Dynamite coming up next Wednesday. Here is the poll. Instapoll, 74. 74% thumbs up, 16% thumbs in the middle, and 9% thumbs down. So at Solid Monster is the place to go on there for those of you who would like to vote in the poll. Those of you who have not been following along in my journey through the WWE Performance Center, Sound Off Gamer, we had a brand new installment, My Rise Episode 3, posted yesterday, over an hour long. And that's just a little preview right there of what you will find in the latest Sound Off Gamer. I am kicking Hulk Hogan's ass, or in this particular image, I'm beating the crap out of him with my fists of fury. Yes, I beat up Hulk Hogan in Japan, and then I wrestled him. I had the biggest match of my young career. A lot of very interesting things happened on the latest Sound Off Gamer, including Naked Solid Monster. All you people who have been asking me to open up an OnlyFans, you want to see Naked Solid Monster, you got to watch my entrances here because I had no clothes. I had a Speedo. Every time I would walk to the ring, now I know what happened. I have corrected it. I will have clothes going forward. But yes, if you ever wanted to see Solid Monster in a Speedo, there's a hook for you. You can check out the latest Sound Off Gamer. So there you go. We need a Solid Monster against... What is that? A Solid Monster against Hogan rematch in a cage? No. There's no rematch. I've already beaten him. I have vanquished him. We don't need to worry about him. That dinosaur has been put out to pasture. We move on to bigger and better things, like your Super Chats, for example. We begin with Groovy Goose. Adrenaline in my soul, every bot out of control. How Tony Khan hears Cody's theme. Here's to a good stream. Hey, that rhymed. I don't know if you intended for that to rhyme, but it did. C. Moonsault. WWE should bring back Stone Cold for another run, but turn him heel, shorten his name to Stone, and refuse to do the stunner. Double turn with Veer. Let's see. We have got Joseph Brooks. Just realized Wardlode. Apparently his name has changed. What do you think this is, WWE? His name is Wardlow. Just realized Wardlow has no theme music. Very rare have been seen since back in the 80s where practically half the roster had no theme music. But HH. Skyline, Bryan against Okada. Enough said. I'm telling you, that's the match to do. They're going to probably do Okada and Punk, but Okada and Bryan is the match I want to see. We've got Dick the Cock Johnson. Give me Wardlow against Nick Gage. Let's not say we did. HBKC83 with the $5 super chat. Not sure if it was CM Punk against Dustin or Brett against Dustin. I can see where the confusion might come in. Nick Grosso, $4.99. Between Brandy and Cody and Sammy and Ty, they managed to turn Lambert and his boys into the biggest baby faces. Can't believe it myself. King Bling Blah with the $4.99. Plan on going on June 26th. Do you think this will be bigger than New Japan Ring of Honor? Omega against Okada. Can you book a bigger match than that? Do you plan on going? Yeah, that's interesting because the Madison Square Garden show sold out. So it's hard to say that them going to the United Center is going to be bigger than them, you know, selling out Madison Square Garden. I do think this will be the better show. I don't even know what the card is going to be, and this is going to be the better show. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury, Sting needs to quit jumping off high things. It makes me look bad when I tell my girl that I'm too old to be on a ladder cleaning storm drains. Sting is making everybody look bad. EJ in the chat wants to know, did Brett ever wrestle Dustin? Yes, he did. He wrestled him as Goldust on Raw. King Bling Blah, could the AEW New Japan show have sold out AT&T Stadium? No. Team Forward with the $2. Blackpool Combat Club, babyface or likable heels? Babyface. Quintus Brown, good show tonight. Not a fan of Andrade constantly losing. Epsilon Sama, FYI, TK is hiring IT people to fight WWE bots. Sturmgeist in the chat says the United Center holds more than MSG. Not for a wrestling show. For a wrestling show, the capacity is going to be about the same. And you're comparing apples to oranges here. You're comparing the United Center to Madison Square Garden. What's wrong with you? Don't you know the history of that building? Mac2 with the $11 super chat. Hey, Solomazer, I made the drive from Ontario, Canada up for the show tonight. Was not disappointed for my first AEW show. How was the crowd coming across on TV? Crowd came across great. They were very loud and energetic throughout the night. So I give Buffalo 2 thumbs up. Not Buffalo. Where were they tonight? Pittsburgh. I'm thinking of Raw from Monday. I had the Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins segment on my mind from Raw Monday when they were talking about Buffalo, because on Monday when Cody mentioned the history that they had in that building, I was reminded of the fact that it goes back to Battleground, that great Battleground match in 2013. It was the Rhodes brothers against the Shield. It was in that, I think, that same building. It was in Buffalo. So, yes, I confused Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Mike says he doesn't care about the history of MSG. You don't have to care about the history of MSG, but, you know, if the question is, what would be the bigger deal? The bigger deal is selling out Madison Square Garden. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel about the building. Tuxedo T Servo was looking forward to a TK Cocaine Bender promo, but Cole and White doing most of the talking was the smart move. I agree. Yeah, Manny, I think some people, you know, they expect AEW to be able to fill, you know, 100,000 seat stadium. They are a little too over-enthusiastic. AEW and New Japan are not in a position to be selling out a stadium that has that kind of capacity. They, you know, look, New Japan, they, in a good year, could fit a lot of people into the Tokyo Dome, but, you know, they don't even pack the Tokyo Dome like they used to. You know, a crowd of 30,000 for them in the Tokyo Dome is considered really good these days. You got to take... Yeah, the timing, everything has to be taken into consideration. The New Japan product right now is cold. This is not the same hot New Japan product it was a few years ago. We've got Isaac. Isaac Duzon, $5 super chat. Hey, Solo Monster, I attended Dynamite Live tonight and finally got to see CM Punk perform live. Beyond excited. I'm very happy for you. Rodimus Prime. I see. Rodimus coming in with the $20 super chat. Rodimus. Can't stay long, got work in the morning, but always got to show love. That said, I'm looking forward to the joint pay-per-view on June 26th. We've got Austin Runge, $5 super chat. Danielson against Zack Sabre Jr. has been my number one dream match. What's the likelihood on that happening at Forbidden Door? If Danielson does not get Okada, then I think there's a very good chance of it. Because my guess would be, you know, Moxley probably gets Tanahashi. Okada probably gets Punk. Where does that leave Danielson? Yeah, I mean, it could be Zack Sabre. Or it could be Jay White. Deuce with the $4.99. Forbidden Door and Money in the Bank within a week of each other. Oh, that's right. I didn't realize that. They are within a week of each other. Miguel says, where does FTR's theme rank right now? Pretty damn high. I like their theme. But Deuce, back to Deuce. He says, business is about to pick up. Let's hear those early Forbidden Door card predictions. Well, I just talked about it. So there you go. Take a look at that. Just gave you what you want and didn't even know you were going to ask that question. Quintus Brown, WWE, doing a joint show with GCW to counter. LOL. Yeah. Where did these rumors begin, by the way, about WWE going into business with GC? Are you out of your minds? Where does this stuff start? Because there was a picture from WrestleMania weekend of Brett Lauderdale and Stephanie McMahon. I was joking when I put the picture up on my WrestleMania stream. I said, I bet you she thought she was with a fan. They were like fucking some fan event or whatever. And she took a picture with a fan. WWE and GCW working together. You people are out of your minds. Absolutely out of your minds. I don't know where this shit starts. Dry chicken without humor or flavor, not humor. There's one thing I hate, it's humorless chicken. I am very happy that an AEW New Japan joint show is finally happening. This huge announcement makes me want to do fantasy booking. Okada against Punk, yes. They've already called their shot. It's going to happen. Joseph Brooks, Ishii against Moxley. Book it. That'd be a big one. That would be a big one. Bliss fan, I didn't say I didn't believe it. I said I don't know where this started. I haven't seen anybody actually backing up the rumors. I didn't say that I didn't believe it like it could never happen. There's a big difference there. There was certainly a better chance of this happening than WWE finding something for Alexa Bliss to do. Devin from New Jersey, 2000 with the $4.99 super chat. Happy birthday to me, Solomonster. I am 22 and feeling it here on the stream with you guys. What was the wrestling world like when you were 22? Well, you know that George Hackenschmidt, he was a pretty good wrestler. It was him against Carl Gotch. Well, happy birthday to Devin, by the way. Let's get those birthday emojis in the chat. Happy birthday to you. 22. Man, I remember. I really don't. What was I doing, actually, on my 22nd birthday? I don't remember. What was the wrestling world like when I was 22? That's a good question. I don't know. I think we were in the middle of Ruthless Aggression, I think. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your birthday, although I guess it's almost over now, but fine way to spend the last moments of your birthday. So happy birthday to Devin. Dylan Hensley, $5 super chat. Honestly, anybody who's hating the announcement are jealous WWE fans who are mad that New Japan is working with AEW and not WWE. This benefits all wrestling. Again, I said it at the beginning of the stream. This is the kind of announcement that appeals to a fan like me. So I don't give a shit if people are concerned about this. This is not, this is what people are missing. Again, this whole announcement, this whole show is not being done solely to bring in new fans. That's not what this is. This is something that is targeted to a different part of their fan base, their hardcore core fan base, who AEW does not like to neglect. This is going to appeal to them. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why that's such a hard concept for people to grasp. Marcus Robinson Johnson, your latest My Rise video had me crying of laughter. Congrats on beating that jabroni Hogan. You're a lock for the Hall of Fame for sure. I want his spot in the Hall of Fame. I want him out of the Hall of Fame, and I want to take his spot. Quintus Brown, Orange Cassidy against Toru Yano. Well, unfortunately, if you are an Orange Cassidy fan, it sounds like he's going to be gone for a while. Tony Khan made a comment earlier that the injury that he suffered, I want to say, was it back at Revolution? I think it was when he got thrown out of the ring. Might have been during the ladder match. He said it's a very serious injury. He didn't say what the injury was, if it's a like a shoulder or a concussion. I don't know what exactly the injury is, but all I know is that he said the injury is very serious and we're not going to be seeing him for a while. So it doesn't look like Orange Cassidy is going to be on that show. Matthew with the $17 super chat last Wednesday is a 21-year-old. Look at this. We had somebody who just turned 22. And Matthew apparently is turning 22. What is it about 22? There's something about the number 22, apparently. Interesting. He says, Forbidden Door in June basically confirms that Punk is beating Hangman at Double or Nothing. From there, champion against champion, Punk against Okada. The only thing left is the finish. Dry chicken. Yeah, but that's the problem, though. You know, you do a champion versus champion, world champion match like that. What do you do for the finish? Because I get it, you know, if New Japan doesn't want their champion to lose clean, and if Tony Khan doesn't want his guy to lose clean, then you're ending up with a draw, or you're ending up with some kind of a double DQ or something, and it's going to be a very unsatisfying finish. That's the thing that you have to work out in advance. If you're going to do a champion against champion match, you need to have an understanding in advance that, okay, we'll do it, but we need to have, you know, a decisive finish in this match. And that's the one thing they would have to work. But I agree with you. I don't think it spoils anything. Anything can happen in Vegas next month, but it's what I said earlier. It makes sense. Okada is the champion. Punk is going to go into Double or Nothing, win the title, and you end up champion against champion. It's the biggest match they could do. You know, in that scenario, it's the biggest possible match they could do. Dried chicken without flavor. FTR against Jeff Cobb and Great O'Khan for the IWGP Tag Team titles. FTR's next belt for their collection. Book it. That is a very smart move. I think there's a very good chance we could get that. They could do the belt collector gimmick. They already have the the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles, AAA Tag Team titles. Add the IWGP Tag Team titles to it. Very possible. Magician Sapphire, $10 super chat. I am someone who never watched New Japan, but I'm excited to see Forbidden Door because of all the praise I see hardcore fans having for New Japan. In a way, hardcore fans can attract new fans. Yeah, I mean, they can. You're not going to pick up a ton of... I don't think you're going to pick up a ton of new fans if you're effectively preaching to the choir. But yeah, you can still pick up new fans this way. But again, that's not what this show is designed for. And so you're going to see a lot of people hating on it and, you know, poo-pooing it, but, you know, again, they don't understand that it's okay. It's okay to do something fun like this that's going to appeal to your native audience. EJ Slemp with the $4.99. Tanahashi beat Punk in the Observer Wrestler of the Year in 2011 and 2012. I want to see that match even if it is not at this show, which I will be at. Samoan fan, now we're going to get Hangman against Evil. Thanks a lot. Oh my God, don't put that evil on me. Literally. I don't need to see evil on that show at all. I don't need to see any evil on that. This needs to be an evil-free show. Speaking of evil. Jared M. coming in hot with the $30 Bully the Clown Super Chat. We'll get to you in a second. Dry Chicken. Back to AEW. I would love to see a Jade Cargill Britt Baker program in the near future. I would do it after Double or Nothing. Matthew thinks someone asked before, but which woman for the BCC... I read that the wrong way. Which woman for the BCC? Well, I'm trying to think of the current crop of ladies that are really being pushed. You know, honestly, someone like a Marina Shafir would work for that, but she's not nearly over enough where I think ready for that kind of spotlight. Serena Deeb, I mean, I guess Serena Deeb, she doesn't really need it, though. You know, ideally it would be somebody that you really want to push, like a newer name, not necessarily someone like her who I just think doesn't really need it. That's a good question. She may be the one that makes the most sense, though. She might be the one. Now, if Jamie Hayter was to break away from Britt Baker, which that seemed to be the direction they were going in, you know, it could be somebody like a Jamie Hayter. I don't know, though. I'd have to look at the full women's roster and think about that a little bit more. You know, Layla Hirsch, yeah, I mean, Layla, maybe. I think Layla is hurt. Actually, we never did get an update on her. She was hurt a week or two ago before the show, and I don't recall there being an update on whether or not she was injured or if she was okay. I should probably look into that. Ty Kane, Cole against MJF, Ospreay. Wait, Cole versus MJF versus Ospreay, BCC. What is this? I don't know what you're asking. It's like one long big match. BCC against Los Ingobernables, Japón, HOB versus BC. What? How? Okay, House of Black against Bullet Club. I think I got that, but there's too many acronyms. There's too many damn acronyms there. Dry Chicken Without Flavor. Watching Wardlow tonight was giving me Kane and Goldberg vibes coming out of the entrance ramp. You and me both. I said the same thing. Ty Kane. Is this the same Super Chat? It might be the same. Ty, thank you. Thank you, Ty. Ty is very excited for the Forbidden Door. Dry Chicken, here's some Danhausen magic. I shall curse you in the Be the Booker on 420. You don't need to curse me. I cursed myself every week. Don't you watch Be the Booker? I need the reverse curse. Quintus Brown, I hope that we get Kevin Kelly and Excalibur on commentary. Good old JR can stay home for this one. Now, they'll probably want JR on commentary. Hey, JR was doing commentary for New Japan shows for a while. Him and Josh Barnett. Kevin Kelly, yeah, I would like... Kevin Kelly and, I guess Excalibur, you know, he knows all the moves and everything, so... Yeah, I could see them being a team. But I think they're going to want JR on that show. Anti-M Bishop, evening Solomonster, evening Anti-M Bishop. For people pissed about the show, the joint show, just let them be great and stop finding something to cry about. And what about All Out? What about it? I don't know. You tell me. Dry Chicken, back to the AEW New Japan subject. I wonder if we never got off of it. I wonder if any Stardom Joshi wrestlers will be part of the show to face any talent from the AEW women's roster. I would think not. You know, Stardom is separate from New Japan. This is a New Japan thing, so I would my guess would be no. The Nacho Man. Ooh, yeah, the Nacho Man. $1.99 Super Chat. How about a Sound Off Gamer with MLB The Show? I don't have MLB The Show, but I am waiting for the Cowabunga collection to be released. I'll probably pick that up. Obviously, the AEW game. I don't know if AEW has made any kind of formal announcement, but I did see rumors that the game could be out as soon as September, which I'm kind of hoping it is, and I believe it's coming out on PC. So we'll definitely do AEW Gamers once the game comes out. I saw, by the way, the first trailer. I didn't watch the whole thing because I didn't want it to be spoiled, but they released the first like 11 or 12 minute trailer walkthrough of gameplay for the new Ninja Turtles game that's coming out, Shredder's Revenge, which is very interesting. It looks very cool. I don't know when this year it's being released. They didn't give a specific date, but it looks good. Very retro. Temjin Zephyr with the $9.99 Russo on a pole, bro. Temjin, my goodness. What's going on, Temjin? Hello, Solomonster. Hope all is well. With the announcement of the AEW New Japan show, will we see the return of Kushida at that show, since reports say he'll be returning to New Japan in June? That is also very interesting. Yes. Kushida being in NXT, he would have had a 30-day non-compete instead of the usual 90. So he would be free and clear. I think that there's a very good chance we would, yes, see Kushida on that show. That's a great point. Maybe we get a Time Splitters reunion. David Wilson, Kushida leaves NXT just in time for the AEW New Japan show on the horizon. Smart man. Thank you, David. Shin Akuma with the $10 Super Chat. Shin, thank you. Food High, $4.99. I took your advice and got a TikTok. It's the same as my Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, at Food High. Any goodies for channel members this month? Well, right now I'm aiming for the next call-in show to be next Thursday night. And I'm probably going to put a thread up soon for another video Q&A. So that's on the horizon. I got to put a schedule together for the next batch of watch-along. So I want to pick a good match for the next one. I'm trying to stay on like the theme of 25 years later, since 1997 was 25 years ago. Definitely going to do one for the Canadian Stampede, but that's in July. I want to see if I can do one sooner. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99, Naif. Temjin Zephyr again, not for nothing, but Sting looked like one of your super chats on tonight's show. He did. He was in his street clothes. I said he looked like a civilian. He did look like one of my super chats. Do not pass go with the $5. Oh, his contract expired. That's right. It wasn't a non-compete situation for Kushida. You're right. If his contract expired, then yes, he could work anywhere he wants to tomorrow. Then it's not an issue. You're right. Armed Anderson on my screen. Look at that sourpuss. Dry chicken without flavor. Here is the good son scenario. You're holding both MJF and Will Ospreay in your arms. Who will you save? I gotta go with my boy. I gotta go with MJF. This guy's the future. MJF, future world champion. Nick Grosso, who should Will Ospreay wrestle at Forbidden Door? Well, if it's Punk and Okada, you could do Ospreay and Danielson. How about that? How about Ospreay and Danielson? How about Darby and Ospreay? Not bad. I'd go for either one of those. By the way, as Temjin just mentioned in the chat, perfect timing for Claudio to come on in. Maybe he could end up being part of the show. Kabanov, Taramula, Taramala, Tirumala. Boy, I fucked that up. Abanov, what's going on? $2 super chat. Buy, sell, rent. Cole versus Jay. Okada versus BD and Punk against Tana. Well, you know I'm buying on Okada and Danielson. And I am going to rent. I'm going to rent Punk and Tanahashi. I like that that match. Quintus Brown, Bryan against Okada at Wrestle Kingdom. Speak it into existence. If it doesn't happen on this show, it should definitely happen on a big show like that. Jared M with the $30. Yes, only a sports entertainment fan can appreciate tonight's very exciting announcement. Already seeing the e-drones online acting like this is not a big deal. They're in denial. And it's not even about the New Japan aspect, just that there is something fun like this being announced. It's the FOMO thing, fear of being left out, fear of missing out. That's exactly what it is. It doesn't matter. It could be a joint show with New Japan. It could be a joint show with almost any other company. It's going to get everybody talking. It's going to get everybody excited, and they're going to feel left out. What they do. Food Hive. Can 2K22 Solemn Monsters entrance be a super chat? I already made it a super chat. I don't know if it's popped up already or not. It might pop up randomly. But yes, there's a super chat out there of naked Solemn Monster coming. Dry Chicken, Master Wato, and Taguchi against Top Flight for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Title. Shinakuma with the 10th spot. I was born on the debut of The Undertaker. My 25th birthday fell on the 25th anniversary, and my 30th birthday fell on the 30th anniversary. I always find that cool. That is very cool. So you were born on, November 1990, right? November 19, I don't remember the exact day. November 22nd, maybe, 1990? EJ Slamp. Do you think the fans would turn on Jungle Boy and Anna Jay if they put them on TV together like they did with Sammy and Ty? Probably. Although I don't think they would be nearly as obnoxious as Sammy and Ty are when they're on camera together. So they might be a little kinder towards them. It's not something I would do right now. I would stay away from. Do I think any belts get swapped at Forbidden Door? Yeah, I think so. I think there's a good chance. Let's see, who do we have next? We have got Quintus. Would you put Chris Jericho on the pay-per-view? If so, who would you like him to face? Well, who did Jericho not face in New Japan when he was going back and forth and doing magic there? Because I know he wrestled Naito, right? He obviously wrestled Tanahashi. He wrestled Omega. I think he wrestled... Was it Evil? I think he wrestled Evil. You know, he probably ends up on the show, but there's no Chris Jericho New Japan match I'm really clamoring for, so... He wouldn't be high up on my list. Suzuki? Yeah, maybe. Maybe Suzuki. Jericho and Suzuki. I could see that. They never did do that Suzuki-Orange Cassidy match from the Collective. They were supposed to do WrestleMania weekend when the pandemic hit, right? But like I said, our Orange Cassidy is very doubtful for that show. Jericho against Great O'Conn. You could stick them on the buy-in pre-show, maybe. Paul Heyman, can you see RVD on this joint show? No, I can't. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Dr. Scorpio, Booker objectives. Book a good women's match on Be the Booker. Seriously, though, thank you for your content. It helps cheer me up when I am depressed. Well, you're very welcome, and I thank you for your support. Maruthi Ram, which one do you prefer, Punk against Tanahashi or Punk against Naito? Punk against Tanahashi. And Dry Chicken, Zack Sabre Jr. and Tai Chi against Brian and Moxley. Book it. Sorry, Solomonster, I'm so in love with this announcement. I could tell. You're very excited. Although that is not the match I would do. We're finally going to get Brian involved in some kind of a New Japan thing. You want to have him in a match with Tai Chi? Why? Surely you can do better than that. We can do a lot better than that. Now the question is, can I do better in Be the Booker? Well, we're about to find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
I'm feeling pretty good tonight. I have a good feeling about this. I think if I'm optimistic, I keep a positive attitude, I think we'll do well. I think we'll have a good night here on Be the Booker. That's what I think. I will get to all of your super chats here in a second. We're going to just break real quick here to do some Be the Booker. Hey, I'll tell you what. We're going to book a men's match and a women's match that would be appropriate for the AEW New Japan show. Not that it's going to involve any New Japan talent necessarily, but just I want to come up with a quality match that would fit in well on that show. So let's see what we come up with here. We have got... Well... Yeah, I don't think this is going to sell out the United Center. What do you think? Damian Sandow as Magneto. Let's see who he's going to be stepping into the to the ring with. Oh. I tried to be optimistic. I tried. Who was it? Dry Chicken? Who is it who put that curse on me? I blame them. We have Magneto against Bully the Clown. If you want to ruin the Forbidden Door, then by all means, go ahead. Holy shit. I don't think I could have possibly booked the worst match. That may be the single worst match that I have ever booked on Be the Booker. Amazing. Can't get any worse than that, right? We can only go up from here. Let's see. On the women's side, we've got Ivy Nile. Look at that. Ivy Nile of Diamond Mine from NXT. Already, this is an improvement. And have Ivy Nile going one-on-one with, I forgot her name. Who the hell is this? Why did I put her in here? Oh, Snooki. I swear, I completely forgot who this woman was. I'm looking at her. I put this thing together. I'm like, who the hell is this woman? And then it just hits me. Snooki, WrestleMania 27. That's why she's in here. Technically, Snooki had a WrestleMania match, so therefore Snooki made her way in to Be the Booker. That is why Snooki is in here. Wow. Holy shit. So what do you think is worse? What would you rather see? What was the worst of the two matches? Magneto Sandow against Bully the Clown or Ivy Nile against Snooki? I don't know. It's hard for me to choose. God, Snooki. Completely forgot about that match. Denise? No, that's not Denise. Be nice. Oh, all right. Well, let's, on that note, let's get back to your super chats here. Worse than Jenna Maraska against Charmel? I don't know. That's a hard one. That's a hard one to top. I don't know about that. That is a hard one to top here. All right, where did we leave off? Maruthi Ram, do you think the IWGP Junior Heavyweight holds any respect in professional wrestling? In New Japan, but elsewhere in wrestling, not really. No, I don't really see that as that big of a deal. No. Samoan Fan, you forgot about Evil, didn't you? Jericho against Sanada. Sanada also is injured right now. He's got an orbital fracture. He just had to surrender the United States Championship, I believe. So Sanada may not be medically cleared in time for the show. And Food High, be the booker cursed ever since I mentioned it. Yeah, I'll blame you. Yeah, I did have Betty White in the bracket, and I'm still not sure that this isn't the worst match I've ever booked. Snooki had a better WrestleMania moment than Sting. Yeah, let that sink in. Let that sink in that Snooki has one victory more than Sting does at WrestleMania. Dry chicken without flavor. In the words of Vince, it was me, Solomon. Sir, I curse the Be the Booker tonight. Jericho against Kenta. Book it. Yeah, that's a match that hasn't been done before. Again, I mean, there's lots of... It's always fun to try to come up and brainstorm different match possibilities. You know, that's why if this show were to go well, you know, this could be an annual thing. This could be a semi-annual thing. So I'm hoping it goes well, it sells well, and they do decent pay-per-view business and that they can bring it back at some point. Shinakuma. Maybe the Sala Monster was ribbed by Corey Klein. I mean, why was she in the office? It was a setup and they gave you your clothes back under the ring, LOL. Yes, this is all in reference to the last edition of Sound Off Gamer. Hook against Yano. Boy, I mean, are we just putting Hook with all the comedy goofs? Is that what we're doing, basically, at this point? Bisbee says you could do one show in the U.S. and one in Japan each year. Yeah, I mean, again, the COVID situation, I think, over there has to clear up a little bit before they would even think about doing something like that. I think logistically it becomes hard. How much of the AEW roster can you send over there? Depending on how long they would be over there for. It's tough. But right now, there's a lot of New Japan talent, I think in May into the month of June, that are going to be in the U.S. So time-wise, it works out perfectly because you're going to have all this talent and then fly a few other guys over here, so they're going to make it work. It could just come down to, you know, simple logistics when it comes to trying to do stuff like this in the future. That's why it's taken them this long to do it. You know, the timing has to be right. Can we see AEW against Impact? Yeah, you could, but why? If you want comedy and wrestling, I'll watch South Park. Hook against Shibata. Ooh. Hook against Shibata, that? I hadn't thought about Shibata being involved. And Food Hive says he had ribs tattooed on his ribs on 2K My Rise. Is that what that was? Chase had ribs on his ribs? Well, that's stupid. At first, it looked like one of those, like, bullet belts that people wear, you know, when they're about to, like fucking Rambo or something. It looked like bullets on his ribs. I think that's even dumber. Why would you have ribs tattooed on your ribs? That's why Chase is a geek. Aubrey Edwards against Red Shoes. My money's on Red Shoes. Red Shoes is the best. Can I see Cesaro on that show? Yeah, if he signs somewhere, yeah. There's still time. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no? Hard pass, no. Absolutely not. I don't like pineapple anyway to begin with. I don't like pineapple off pizza. Why would I want it on pizza? You know what goes good with ribs? More ribs. I had ribs the other night. Had the slow cooker going. It was just the meat was coming right off the bone, drenched in barbecue sauce. Not JR's. I should probably try out JR's barbecue sauce. Oh, it was so good. Baby back ribs. Dry chicken, private party, Yujiro Takahashi and El Fantasmo against Finn Juice and Best Friends. I thought that Juice Robinson was done. I thought he had already wrestled his final match or was about to. So I don't even think he'll be on this show if he's done with New Japan. I think Finn Juice is no more. JR's barbecue sauce is damn good. I should try it one of these weeks. I should try it. Here we go. Linklex7, the $1.99 says, wasn't Red Velvet Jade's arch nemesis? Well, I think Jade was her arch nemesis, yes. But I guess they've put their differences aside now. You know what they say, if you can't beat them, join them. So now she's one of her baddies. How about pineapple juice with vodka? That's a little bit better, although vodka is the devil. I can't have too much vodka because it doesn't take a lot of vodka to fuck me up, so. But I would take that over pineapple on pizza. Food Hive, tell me more about this rib recipe of yours. Well, it's called Amazon. All I know is that the finished product came out great. Didn't require too much work on my part. Even I couldn't screw it up. It was a lot of work, though, actually, what I did. Turtlehead 2. Did anybody mention Punk against Kenta? Yes, I did. Right at the very beginning, I mentioned that as a possibility. I think the two of them can make that one interesting. Maybe make it so that neither can use the GTS. You're going to take the GTS away. The whole premise of the match is GTS against GTS. You're going to take it away completely. That'd be like telling Brett you can't use the sharpshooter. Brett against Owen. Neither one of you can use the sharpshooter. Why would you do that? It's like doing Steve Austin and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania and saying neither one of you can use the stunner. Vodka passes smooth. Usually it's not pineapple juice with me. Usually it's orange juice. So it's the old Solomonster screwdriver when I do partake. Shinakuma. Am I wrong for thinking Alliance Stone Cold was damn entertaining from the music to his paranoid mannerisms? I did not grow up with 98 to 99 Austin. Well, I feel sorry for you. You didn't grow up with 98-99 Austin. Thankfully, for $9.99 on Peacock, you can go back and relive the days of 98-99 Austin. Yeah, no, there were definitely elements of that heel version of Austin that I enjoy. The music actually was really good. His music was good. And, you know, when he would... Hey, I mean, look, when he was hurt and they had to do more comedy stuff with him and Kurt Angle and the little cowboy hat and the banjo and all that, I got a kick out of it. So yeah, no, there were definitely, you know, positive moments, but I never would have turned Austin heel that year. Anti-M Bishop coming soon. Solomonster cooking. Oh, that's a bad idea. Unless you want to see me throw some bread in the toaster oven, that's a bad idea. The solo screwdriver needs to be his finisher in 2K22. Well, That's not a bad, it's not a bad name, actually, but I did change my finisher. I was advised that I should probably not have a submission finish. So I actually think the sharpshooter may still be one of my finishing moves, but I have more of an impact, not impact wrestling, but more of an impact maneuver now called the Omega Driver, which looks fantastic. I haven't used it yet, but I was making changes yesterday, so. You'll see in the next installment. We've tweaked things a little bit on Sound Off Gamer for my character. I'm going with the old Omega Driver. What do I think the women's match will be at Forbidden Door? I don't know that there will be a women's match. It would have to be an AEW-only women's match. So in that case, I mean, yeah, the end of June is still a ways off. It's impossible to know. But it would either have to be all AEW women or... you know, though, I guess they could if they wanted to. I guess they could fly in some Japanese... I mean, they've had the Japanese female talent before, but again, if it's strictly AEW against New Japan, then there would be no women's match. Temjin, no, it's not the One Winged Angel. It's a totally different move. You need a finisher called the CYN. Do you think Forbidden Door will have a casino battle royal? No idea. If they want to put a whole bunch of people in one match just to get them on the show, they will, but I have no idea. All right, one last check of the poll here. This is where we are. At Solomonster, if you want to go vote, 74% of you thought this was a thumbs-up show. Only 9% of you gave this show a thumbs-down for a show that gave us what was a very big announcement. If you missed it, AEW and New Japan are going to have a joint Super Show pay-per-view June 26th in Chicago at the United Center called Forbidden Door. We've been doing a little bit of fantasy booking here on this show. I will have more to say about this, and probably more news about this will come out in the days ahead. And we'll talk more about this on the podcast on Sunday. That'll be episode 753. Again, do not forget, if you missed it, the latest installment of Sound Off Gamer. That's me beating the hell out of Hulk Hogan. Don't get no better than that. Look at this. I'm sorry, brother. Yeah, you're sorry, all right. Anyway, we'll be doing more My Rises coming up in the future. I'm starting to get the hang of things here. A lot of new storylines to explore. It's going to be fun. We have some more fun ones coming up very soon. Have yourselves a good night, guys. I'm going to be back with you in our normal spot Friday night. We missed it last week because of the Hog Show, but we're back Friday night. SmackDown and Rampage right back here on the channel, so I expect to see you all there. Unless you have plans, in which case, enjoy your night, but you know where I'll be. So be well, stay safe, and I'll see you guys on Friday night for the SmackDown Rampage combo review. Until then, take care, guys.